Last night we looked at some promises to the servants of God. God gave wonderful promises in His Word to those who serve Him. And we started with Isaiah 41 yesterday evening, Isaiah 41:8. And we read up through 20, and it wasn't just one promise, but it was many promises. And maybe it would be a good thing for me to go get my Bible. And you might say, well, it says the promises are for Jacob and Israel and, oh, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, God says. And so we included ourselves there. We didn't just do it without any basis. Rather, we found in Galatians 3 that we are Abraham's offspring if we are Christ's. So if we're His servants, if we have given our lives over to Him, we are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promises that God gave to him. And so that's one thing. Then another thing that might cause us to hold back a little bit from claiming the promises, that we could say that some of these promises are clearly given in the aggregate to God's people as a whole, to all of God's servants. But that doesn't stop me either, as I read from F.B. Meyer, from claiming the promise for myself, because an aggregate is made up of individuals, right? And so if God's servants are promised this as a whole, so I can claim my part in the promise, right? And in the inheritance. And the reason I start like that is that the promise I'd like to take first is also one that's given like that to God's servants, but God's people as a whole. This is one of my favorite promises in the Bible. It also is in the prophecy of Isaiah, and it's at the beginning of the 44th chapter. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone would say, I've heard you speak on that before, because I'm sure I have referred to it so many times. Here's what it says. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. A poetic name for Israel. We find that in a number of places in the Bible, and it means upright one. Jeshurun, fear not, Jacob, my servant. Listen, Jacob, my servant. I'm speaking to you. I have a word of promise for you. Now, I mentioned last night, perhaps I should say again, that one theme, or a main theme that we have had at camp during this 67th season, is serving the Lord. It is our staff theme for 2012. Our staff verse is, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And we've talked about serving the Lord. We've talked about fervor. We've talked about zeal. We've talked about many of the subjects that came, or aspects of service, and various applications that came up in our devotional readings that we had in the staff devotional. And those were available then to guests also. Do we still have some? We still have a few, if anybody is interested in, and you want to know what I'm talking about. So this has been a theme. And yesterday it just came to me. Look at some promises. Look at some promises that God gives to those who serve Him. So here's this great one. I will pour water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. This is given to God's servant and God's servants. And if you are Christ's, it is given to you. I will pour water on him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. But the verse goes on, and this is so precious. We can claim this too. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Zion's children are blessed. Great shall be their peace, it says. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass, like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. God's promises to his servant Israel. I believe we can take this to ourselves and know that God is ready to pour his abundant blessing, to pour out his spirit upon those who are thirsty for him. Those who hunger for his righteousness shall be filled. He satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry with his goodness, meets that thirst, quenches the thirst of the thirsty ones, pours out his spirit upon his people. And here's one prerequisite. He wants to see our hearts desiring him, longing for him. But isn't it a wonderful thing that he who awakens the desire also fulfills the desire? He who makes us thirsty also quenches our thirst, and does so in such an abundant and fulfilling and wonderful and glorious way. I will. When God says, I will, there's no question. There is no doubt about it. I will pour water on the thirsty land, streams on the dry ground, and then I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, my blessing on your descendants. And what does that do? They spring up, and they say, I am the Lord's. The Spirit of God, again, as we said last night, makes them strong to take their place in God's, among God's people, in God's army, to do his will, to be equipped to do his will in all things. He works within them that which is well-pleasing in his sight. They take their stand for him. They call themselves by the name of the Lord. They write, it says, another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. They're not ashamed, not ashamed. I'm going to come over there and get that brown book, if I may.
I'll bring it right back. This comes to mind, and I believe this Isaac Watts poem is in this book. Speaks about being ashamed of Jesus, and this is just the opposite. The Holy Spirit works in us and makes us want to stand up for Jesus. Am I a soldier of the cross, it says, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Think of these children of Zion. They look back. They have such a glorious history. They think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God gave such wonderful promises to the fathers. Then they look back and know the way that God led Joseph through such difficult times. But it was all part of his will to save his people. And Joseph stood so faithful to God and so nobly there in Egypt. But they can stand too. And when God's Spirit is poured out upon them, they spring up and they say, I am the Lord's. The other day we were talking about Moses, who chose. He made his choice. Was that on Wednesday night, maybe, here? He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward, and it was a big step for him to take. He did it when he was come to years. He made the break. Difficult thing, I'm sure, for him to do, because it could not be explained, naturally speaking. If he had only looked around him at the plight of his people, and then thought of all the advantages that were his in the court of Pharaoh, all he had learned, all he had been given, the responsibilities, the honor that was his, if he had looked at those things and weighed them, he would never have made that choice. But it says later on in that passage in Hebrews 11, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Somehow it was in his heart. His mother had said to him when he was just a little boy, Moses, you're not an Egyptian. The promises to the fathers are ours. You're an Israelite. You're one of God's children. You're not an Egyptian. She knew she had to send him back each day to the palace, and then later she had to give him back to Pharaoh's daughter. But she trusted God. Amram and Jochebed, we read, were people of faith, and they trusted God, that God would work in his heart, and that seed that had been planted, why, he knew the promises. She must have told him about Abraham, and how God showed Abraham that the people would be taken to another place and that they would be in bondage, but it would be for a limited amount of time, for 400 years. And they knew, or approximately 400 years, and they knew that that time was just about there. And so Moses was somehow enabled by the working of that seed, that word in his heart, the promises of God, to make his choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we see something like that here. I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's. I have a song that goes with each one of the promises that I have for today. But first, I'm going to read you something that has blessed my heart so many times. I pray, too, claiming these words for my children and for the children of our church. This is from Spurgeon's Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. We've read this in my house, my family, for as long as I can remember. And there's a daily reading based upon a promise of God. And I found out that these readings take about 30 seconds to read if you read them quickly. But I'm not going to read it that quickly this morning, because it has to get into our hearts. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Excuse me, it might be 90 seconds. Is that right, Susan? I'm sorry, it's a minute and a half. How many times I've glanced at the clock because I've told the kids this is only going to take 90 seconds. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Our dear children have not the Spirit of God by nature, as we plainly see. We see much in them which makes us fear as to their future, and this drives us to agonizing prayer. When a son becomes specially perverse, we cry with Abraham, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." We would sooner see our daughters Hannahs than empresses. This verse should greatly encourage us. It follows upon the words, "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant," and it may well banish our fears. The Lord will give his spirit, will give it plentifully, pouring it out, will give it effectually, so that it shall be a real and eternal blessing. Under this divine outpouring, our children shall come forward, and one shall say, "I am the Lord's," and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. This is the one of those promises concerning which the Lord will be inquired of. Should we not, at set times, in a distinct manner, pray for our offspring? We cannot give them new hearts, but the Holy Spirit can, and he is easily to be entreated of. The great Father takes pleasure in the prayers of fathers and mothers. Have we any dear ones outside of the ark? Let us not rest till they are shut in with us by the Lord's own hand. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. God pours out his spirit on the parents and puts prayer in the spirit in their hearts. And he comes to his people. That's what it says. God will bless the children of Zion. Hallelujah. Those parents who are looking to him and seeking the fullness of his spirit, hungering and thirsting for Jesus themselves, will find that he will meet the cry of their hearts, filling them with the spirit and blessing their families. We don't know the Lord's time, but God hears our prayers, and he has respect unto the prayers, as we just read, of believing fathers and mothers. So let us trust him to pour out his spirit. We need God's spirit. We need the working of God's spirit in our own hearts, in our families, in our churches. Let us plead with him. Let us cry out to him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And Sister Gerda, it was number 203. So perhaps we'll go on to another promise or two, but let's sing this chorus. Maybe get it into our hearts. It says this, "I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart, for the gift I am bringing, while you are seeking me, I will be found." I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart, for the gift I am bringing, while you're seeking me, I will be found. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon wonder if you'd like to hear a choir number this morning. We don't have that song in our hymn books. So the choir consists of everyone who could sing the verses with me. Okay. I was just going to sing the chorus, but I don't know. Sing the verses. Okay, thank you. Okay. Oh, everyone that is thirsty in spirit. Oh, everyone that is weary and sad. Come to the fountain, there's fullness in Jesus. Oh, you are longing for, come and be glad. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you're seeking me, I will be found.
Of course, everyone joins on the chorus, all right, now that we know it so well. The second verse is, child of the world, are you tired of your bondage, weary of earth joys, so false, so untrue? Thirsting for God, is that what it says, Sister Gerda? Thirsting for God and his fullness of blessing, list to the promise, a message for you.
Child of the world, are you tired of your bondage? Weary of earth joys, so false, so untrue. Thirsting for God and his fullness of blessing. Thine is the promise, us a message for you. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you're seeking me, I will be found.
And then, child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. 'Tis the endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so certain, so sweet.
Child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. 'Tis the endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so certain, so sweet. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. I will be found.
So let us keep our hearts wide open. This morning, the three promises that I've chosen to mention that are given to servants of the Lord all have to do with the moving of God's Spirit. That we need the Spirit of God. That's the way He works. God works by His Spirit in His people, through His people, to accomplish His purposes, to do His work, to finish His work. Here's one in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4.
This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, says the prophet Zechariah. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, just a little background. Perhaps all of you know the background of this. This is about a group of people that came back after the Babylonian exile. They had been taken away from Jerusalem. Their temple had been destroyed. This was because of their sin, and they had spent years in Babylon. But God had worked among them, and in his time, the word was given. Go back, go back. Those of you who will go back to Jerusalem, God is going to begin something new at Jerusalem. And Zerubbabel was one of those who went back to rebuild the temple. And there was a lot of discouragement connected with that project. And here Zerubbabel is being encouraged through the word of the prophet Zechariah that God's work would be finished through God's power. God's ingenuity, wisdom, and strength would perform it, but he would use Zerubbabel. But it wouldn't be through Zerubbabel's might. Zerubbabel knew that he did not have the strength in himself. We read God had raised up the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, and from their prophecies we see that the work had lagged and had been given up even for a time. So Zerubbabel knew that he didn't have the power in himself, but here this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now you say, where do you get servant from that? Come with me back to Haggai, second chapter. In the book of Haggai, God said to his people, get with it. Do the work that you came here to do. Don't give up. Pick up this work, and I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. You've come to a place of difficulty. You're not prospering along any line. Take up the task that I have given you to do. Do my will in my name. And here, verse 20, all right? The word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Haggai 2. On the 24th day of the month, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders shall go down every one by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. So I have chosen you, Zerubbabel. You're the governor of Judah. You're leading the people that have come back. I have chosen you. I have made you my servant. Now, all these experiences in Haggai and Zechariah point forward. These prophecies do not just have to do with the current situation. They point forward because here what was happening was, shall we say, the scene was being set.
The stage was being built for something far greater that was coming in Jerusalem. The Savior was coming. Jesus was bringing in the kingdom and his salvation. And that kingdom would smite and lay low every other power. And Jesus would reign and bring in, as we said, his glorious salvation. That's why in Haggai and in Zechariah, you have words that are quoted in the New Testament that point way beyond this temple that was being built. For instance, in Haggai, second chapter, yet once more the Lord of hosts says, in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will, seventh verse, I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. This is clearly a word that points forward to something greater, to eternal salvation, an eternal kingdom that Christ will bring in. How can I say that with confidence? Well, for many reasons, but for one, we just had recently taken a look at the end of Hebrews 12, where God says to his people, in quoting from Haggai 2, I am bringing you into a kingdom. I am giving you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And he quotes this, and it's coming, and seeing that you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that will never pass away. Oh, let us have grace. Let us be so thankful and serve the Lord and worship him in an acceptable way with reverence and godly fear. Our God is a consuming fire. Now this points forward to God's day. So all these things have to do with beyond. But the completion of this temple, God said to Zerubbabel, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And the topmost stone will be laid with shoutings of grace, grace unto it. It's not what I did, it's what God did. So God's work goes forward by his spirit, not by human might or power, but by his spirit, not by might, not by power. Now, Zerubbabel was his servant. I'd just like to add that God says, oh, Zerubbabel, my servant. I believe this is also a pointing forward. Zerubbabel was God's chosen servant at this time to accomplish his work. But Isaiah spoke of the greater servant who would come. Zerubbabel is really a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. His greater work, if you read Matthew 1, you look at the genealogy, you see Zerubbabel there in the line of Christ. And so he was the greater one who was coming to do this work of salvation that no one else could do. Oh, Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, I'll make you like a signet ring. I have chosen you. I think of the servant song in Isaiah 42, where God says to his servant, the servant of Jehovah, the Messiah who was coming, you are the one I delight in. I am well pleased with you, my servant. I put my spirit upon you. It says he's going to do the work, and he will not fail, and he will not be discouraged till that work is complete. Praise the Lord. And it is finished by his power, by his grace, not by might, not by power. This is really a watchword for all of God's saints and for all of God's servants. Here's a promise to the servant, Zerubbabel, and a promise
I would say to the Lord's servant. But those promises are for us too. Paul saw himself. He took one of those servant promises from Isaiah and applied it to himself there when he was preaching to the Gentiles. And so may we, because we are the Lord's representatives. We are his servants, and we are nothing without his Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, the mountains shall come down. The mountains, that was a mountain of difficulty, a mountain of discouragement. This temple, how will it ever be finished? The enemies are strong. They raise such opposition against us. And God says, don't be afraid. God will remove the mountains. He even says, who are you, O great mountain? I'm using Zerubbabel. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And the work is going to be finished. The work is going to be finished. All that discouragement, all that despair, all that difficulty, all that doubt, let it be removed. Let the Spirit of God come in and let him make his servants strong to do his will. Equip them to do his will and accomplish his desire. And this is how it was. Zerubbabel's hands shall complete it. And the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. You're going to know that this is God's word that is being spoken. So you know what my song is. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, says the Lord. Then trust alone the mighty God. He speaks, the winds obey. Take courage then, O fainting heart, for you he'll make a way. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And one more before we go. This is a Pentecostal promise. It's about the last days, where God says he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You can find that in Acts 2, quoted from Joel, the prophet Joel. Peter is preaching under the inspiration and anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the last days it shall be, God declares, Acts 2:17. That I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, God is saying that His Holy Spirit's working in the hearts of men and women is for everyone. No one is excluded. That's what he's saying in the book of Joel. He uses these classifications, your sons and your daughters, and then here again, your young men, your old men. And he says, on the servants, at least in this translation that I have, on the servants and on the handmaidens in those days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. That means slaves, servants, masters, men, women, old, young, all flesh, I will pour out of my spirit. And the Apostle Paul tells us that in Christ, these distinctions disappear because he works in all of us, men and women, and bond and free. What does it say? Jew and Gentile, we're all one in Christ Jesus. But I like it here in Acts 2 where it says, on my servants, my male servants and female servants, my handmaidens, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. They shall stand and speak for me. You might say I'm stretching it a little to say this is a promise to servants in the sense that we have taken it this summer, but I don't care. I kind of like this. I'll be a slave. Remember? I love my master. That was one of our themes. I love my master. I will not go out free. I want to be his bond servant forever. So, yes and no. I like to fit myself into all of these categories, as many as I can. I remember at our wedding, my father gave us that word, gave that to Susan and to me. And his heart was so full as he was about to join us in holy matrimony. But he said, here's a word for you before he started. It shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And it says I was a young man then. And I know I was seeing a vision of loveliness that day. But it says your young men shall see visions. And I've seen it through the years, of course. And your and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I'm trying to know whether I am in the place where I can claim both of these or neither of these. I hope I'm still in the middle and I can latch onto them both, whatever God has for us. I'm so thankful for the promise of the Holy Spirit. I will come to you. I will come to you. Jesus told his disciples, and he kept his word. And Peter said, these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is but the third hour of the day. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, these are the last days, and God is fulfilling his word. This is the promise. Right before Jesus ascended to heaven, not many days hence, you shall receive the fulfillment of the promise. I have already breathed upon you in anticipation and said, receive you the Holy Ghost, but you will now have the fullness. I will come to you as I leave and take my place at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens. I will pour forth of my Spirit upon you. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. And he did. And he wants to come to you and to me in that way. He has given us his Spirit as we have believed on him. But we need to be being filled with the Spirit. We need to partake of the Spirit of Christ again and again. There's an infinite supply. And so we can come day after day and time after time and know that we are consciously and continuously filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We open our hearts to Him. We live under that outpouring of His grace. And by faith, He wants it to be that way. Brother Chow was here this summer for a retreat, and at the end of the retreat, he stayed a few days longer, and he was here, and it was such a wonderful time when he spoke to us in English after the Chinese retreat and one of our first meetings. And one of the things he said was, he mentioned the prerequisite of hungering and thirsting for Jesus, but then he also said, it's not hard. It's not hard to receive an infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you're Christ's, if you're one of His servants, if you hunger and thirst for Him, it says God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Just open your heart. Open your heart. I will pour out of My Spirit upon all flesh. My servants, My handmaidens, they shall prophesy. My sons, My daughters, all of My people can come under those wonderful showers of blessing. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord, we pray. Just wanted to share that God's servants have wonderful promises given to them in connection with the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in their midst. And they should claim God's working by the power of His Holy Spirit in them as individuals, in their families, in their churches. God's work goes forward. His kingdom comes. And one day that topmost stone shall be laid, and there will be shoutings of grace, grace. But God wants to fill you and me and keep us filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power. So let us stand. Hallelujah. And open our hearts, open our hearts. Open our hearts to this wonderful working, this moving of God's Spirit, this promise of the Father. I will come to you, Jesus said. The Father and the Son have made promise to us that we can receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So let us sing. He will fill your heart today to overflowing. And let us believe it. And let us receive it. Amen.